Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. Today, the continuation of our study through the Simple Gospel, Simply Grace study guide. If you would like a copy of the study guide and the study notes as they are made available each week in advance of the study, visit basicgospel.net/teaching. There you can order your copy of the Simple Gospel, Simply Grace study guide and download the free notes each week. Again, that's at basicgospel.net/teaching. It's Basic Gospel, everybody. Now to continue our study, here is Bob Christopher.
Well, we're going to pick up today on page 116 under the section True Freedom. And this really is the final chapter, the final aspect of what this book is all about. What does true freedom in Christ look like? And we have to start with the premise that God is love, and to know God is to know that he is love. And so ultimate freedom is to be able to express that love out in the world today. That's what we've been set free to do. Mm-hmm. Well, there's only one way to do that, and that is through faith in Jesus Christ. We abide in the vine, and as we abide in the vine, we bear the fruit of God's love. So that's the way it works. That's how God has set it up. Now, that transcends everything the world puts into place is how we're to live our lives.
Yes.
This is a far higher plane, a different realm altogether. It's what is different. It's set apart. It's holy. Holy living is expressing the love of God through faith in Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. And we're going to talk about a story that intrigues me, fascinates me like none other. Yeah. I just can't get away from this story. It's the story of Peter as he shared the gospel with Cornelius and his family. And we're going to look at the details of that story on today's broadcast. And I want you to stick with us because I think you're going to find it fascinating as well. And I think you'll find it challenging in your own sphere of influence. You know, what is just right around you? Who are right around you that you've never thought of? And maybe the way you've looked at life, maybe the way you've perceived life has kept you away from serving them in love. Well, we want to give you the freedom today to take a good look at everybody around you and to say, Lord, use me to connect them to the love of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
So we started out last week with a wonderful verse, Galatians 5:13, and I'm just going to read that again. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. That's what this gospel message
yes.
is all about. So God has given us new life in Jesus Christ. He's made us alive together with Christ. He's forgiven all of our sins. When you add those two together, it equals freedom. Mm-hmm. So that's what this gospel message leads to, freedom in Christ. We thought we were free when we were lost. We rebelled against rules and regulations. We rebelled against anything in the Bible because we thought it was going to constrict us.
Yes.
It was going to constrain us. It was going to keep us from having fun. And we hear today so many people say, yeah, I understand the gospel. I agree. It sounds good and everything. But if I give my life to Jesus, you know, I'm going to lose all my freedom. I can't do the things that I enjoy doing right now. I may have to go to a third world country and become a missionary, and I don't want that.
Yeah.
So they look at it as constrictive, as something that's going to rob them of their real freedom as human beings. Well, they're just deceived. There's no freedom as a sinner, as a lost person. Why? Because you are being controlled by the dictates of sin and death. The ways of this world are just moving you along a path like you're nothing but a rag doll. I mean, you've got strings attached, they're pulling those strings, and you're just moving, and
wow.
you're pretending not to see those strings. You are so deceived, you don't see them in your mind. You think you're free. You're not free at all. You're lost, dead. Sin is in control.
Yeah.
But when you come to Christ, those strings are cut. There's no more strings attached. You are free to trust the Lord Jesus, free to express his life in this world, and there's nothing that can compare to that. That is ultimate freedom. So we have been called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. You have that freedom. You can indulge the flesh, but that's not freedom. That's just a step back into slavery. But you're free to do that. Rather, he says, instead of indulging the flesh, serve one another humbly in love.
Yeah.
That's what you're free to do. Now, we see that in the life of Peter. Peter experienced this freedom. Now, we talked about last week the fact that after Christ was arrested and tried and that sort of thing, and before that night ended and before the rooster crowed that morning, Peter had denied Jesus three times, just as Jesus said that he would. Well, when that cock crowed that morning, Peter wept. He felt the lowest he's ever felt in his entire life. He felt like he had let the Lord down. He felt like he had, in many ways, betrayed the Lord, that he didn't keep up his end of the bargain. Now, many of us feel exactly the same way, like we've let the Lord down.
Yeah.
But what did the Lord do for Peter? He restored him. He lifted him up, and he said, hey, you're still with me. You still belong to me. I still love you, and I want to use you. I want you to feed my sheep. And that's what we looked at last week in John chapter 21. So after the resurrection, Jesus asked all the disciples to meet him on the shores of the Sea of Galilee. They met him there. Jesus took Peter off to the side, and he had this personal conversation. Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord. Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord. Peter, do you love me? And Peter's getting a little frustrated with all that. Yes, Lord. Yes, I do. I do. And Jesus keeps saying, then feed my sheep.
Yeah.
What is Jesus doing? Even in the midst of Peter's ultimate failure, his ultimate self-pity event. Jesus is still saying to him, you're still free to do what I've set you free to do, and that's to feed my sheep, to serve others humbly in love.
Yeah.
Well, Peter did that.
Peter did that.
He stood up and delivered the good news of Jesus on the day of Pentecost. He went to Samaria. When the Samaritans had heard about the good news, he went and unlocked the door so the gift of God's Spirit could flow into their lives. And then he did this in Acts chapter 10. He went to the household of Cornelius. And to me, it's one of the most moving stories in the Word of God. And we're going to get to that in just a minute. You're listening to Basic Gospel. Richard Pfeiffer is here. I'm Bob Christopher. We welcome you to today's broadcast. We're studying through the Simple Gospel, Simply Grace study guide. We're at the very end, so it'll be this week and next week, and we will close the book, close the last cover on this particular study.
I'll believe it'll end next week if it ends next week. We'll see.
We can tease, can't
we? Yeah,
we can tease. But we are so grateful for those of you that have journeyed along with us as we've gone through the pages of this. We hope that it has been helpful to you. I've just had an absolute blast studying through these pages. It's been great.
Yes,
great conversation, hasn't
great
it?
Great fun, learning. I mean, I don't care how many times you and I go through this stuff. We learn something new every time.
Yes, we do.
It's just the nature of grace that you do that.
Yes, it is. Well, if you're new to the broadcast, you've just tuned in, you're just tuning in maybe for the first time today, maybe over the last month or something, and you would like a copy of Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, along with a study guide, that's available at our website at basicgospel.net. We have a great price on the book right now, $8. That includes shipping. So you don't really have to worry about that. You're not going to find a better price anywhere on the planet than that. Amazon's actually selling it for $5, but then when you add shipping, it's over $10. So the $8 is a great price. It's available at basicgospel.net. Just go to that website and order the book there. We would love to get it into your hands as quickly as possible. And while you're there, while you're ordering, if you could make a contribution along with your purchase of the book, we would greatly appreciate it. Your gift to Basic Gospel will help this broadcast continue on over 400 stations around the country, including Sirius XM. It will help us continue to deliver the good news through our internet partners who actually broadcast this program around the globe. So we have folks listening to us right now in England, Australia, the Philippines, and, you know, 119 different countries. So the reach is big, and it's all because of people exactly like you who decide to contribute to help get the word out through Basic Gospel. So again, to order the book, to make a contribution, visit basicgospel.net. Well, let's get back to our study. So we're going to look at Acts chapter 10, and we're going to look at this intriguing, fascinating, compelling story about Peter and what actually happened there. So we're going to start in Acts chapter 10, starting in verse 28. And just for the backstory, Peter is in Joppa.
Yes.
Joppa is near Tel Aviv now, in that area, and he's staying with Simon the Tanner. He is at this house. We don't know exactly all the reasons he's there. He's just there. He's just there. While he's there, he has this vision, this dream, really odd, strange dream. And what it entailed was a vision of this sheet coming down from heaven. And in this sheet are animals of every kind. And as it lowers down, Peter gets to see what those animals are. And then he hears a voice, a heavenly voice, that says to Peter, kill and eat. Now, Peter sees animals in there that are against the Jewish dietary laws. And so what is Peter's response? Almost exactly like it was with Jesus. Oh, no, I will never deny you. And it's like, Lord, I will never defile myself. I will only eat kosher foods. But he hears the voice two other times, kill and eat, kill and eat, kill and eat. And Peter's kind of mystified about this. At the same time that's happening, a man named Cornelius is up at Caesarea by the sea. So that is a Roman town, basically. It is a wonderful place to go and visit today. You will see all the Roman features of that town.
Yeah.
So there's a big theater, an open-air theater. That's where they had plays. They had all sorts of things. It was a place where they could live out their motto to its fullest. And what was their motto? Everything to excess. So moderation was not a part of their lifestyle. It was not a word that they used very often in their vocabulary. Everything was to excess. So they would eat. They would eat themselves to the full. They would go to a room, throw up, and then they would eat more. They would drink. They would drink themselves beyond oblivion. They'd throw up and then drink more. That was their lifestyle. They had all kinds of bathhouses and just promiscuous activities that were happening there. That was Caesarea by the sea. Cornelius lived there. He was a Roman soldier, a Roman centurion, a Gentile. And so Peter is having this vision, kill and eat. Cornelius is there in his household. He's receiving a word from the Lord saying, send for Peter. Mm-hmm. Have him come to your house to tell you some good things about God. So he sends three men down to Joppa. They knock on Simon the Tanner's door. Peter realizes that these three men are there for him. He says, you're looking for me. What is it that you want? And they said, we need you to come with us to Cornelius's house. And Peter gladly went. Mm-hmm. Now, that was a big step, wasn't it?
It was a big step.
Yeah, so this wasn't just, something that Peter thought, hey, this could be a great adventure. this was going against everything Peter stood for as a Jewish person. Yeah. This was against his Jewish nature to associate with Gentiles and to go anywhere with Gentiles. But yet he said, I'm going to do that. So he makes the journey. It's not a very long journey, but they travel by foot. And he gets there, gets to Cornelius' house, and he goes in. And as he goes in, this is what he says, Acts 10, 28 through 29. He said to them, you are well aware that it is against our law for a Jew to associate with or visit a Gentile. But God has shown me that I should not call anyone impure or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without raising any objection. Now may I ask why you sent for me? So Peter makes it clear that his presence in this Gentile house is against Jewish law. Now, Jewish law was robbing him of freedom to associate with Gentiles.
Yes.
The love of God broke those chains. It tore down that wall of hostility that stood between Jew and Gentile and gave Peter the freedom to cross over into Gentile land, into Gentile territory, to actually enter into a Gentile house. Now, we have to realize that when he says that it's against our law, he's talking about Jewish law, not God's law.
Correct.
The law of God is, and when I say that, I'm not talking about the Mosaic covenant. I'm talking about the law of liberty that James mentions, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus that Paul mentions in Romans 8, the law of hope that we have in Christ Jesus. That's what I'm talking about, faith, hope, and love that we experience that mark us out as children of God. Those are the laws of freedom that enable us to serve others humbly in love. So Peter recognized that he had a law that robbed him of freedom, and now being compelled by the love of Christ, he was experiencing true freedom. So what happened? Well, Cornelius asked Peter, we've just been told by God to send for you. We're open. We're all ears. You tell us what you want us to know. So Peter began to give them the message of Christ that would bring peace to their hearts. He told them about his death, his burial, his resurrection. That's the gospel. That's the good news. If you're going to tell somebody something, that's what you tell them. You know, we don't have to wonder. We don't have to worry about the message. The message is very clear. If you go into somebody's home, they want to know about you, the hope that is within you. What do you tell them? You tell them that Jesus died for my sins. You tell them that Jesus was buried to put an end to my old way of life, that Jesus was raised from the dead so that I could be made alive together with him. That's the good news. And so Peter told them that. And it says as he was speaking, the Holy Spirit came down, and he got to this part, and he said, all the prophets testify that all who believe and receive this Jesus will receive forgiveness of sins. And Peter didn't have to give an altar call at that point. The Holy Spirit just came down, and they were all born again, made alive in Christ. The Gentiles were now included in this good news story, this good news message. They were added to the body. So the first time in human history that Jew and Gentile stood together as one in Christ. That's what this story is all about. So if you ever get to Israel, you've got to go to Caesarea, especially if you're a Gentile, because that's the place where the gospel was opened up to you. And when you're there, it's just chilling in just an overwhelming way to realize the key that opened the door for me to believe was opened right here. And and Peter, compelled by the love of God, experiencing true freedom in Jesus, used that key, unlocked that door, swung it wide open. And ever since, that gospel message has been pouring into Gentile hearts all over the world. Now, he knew that once this happened, that his Jewish brothers were going to question him. And yes. Acts chapter 11 is that questioning, that interrogation. And so here's what Peter had to say. Richard, you want to read that to us? Acts 11, 15 through 18.
As I began to speak, really, he never got into his sermon. He just said hello, really. As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit came on them as he had come on us at the beginning. Then I remembered what the Lord had said. John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So, if God gave them the same gift he gave us who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to think that I could stand in God's way? When they heard this, they had no further objections and praised God, saying, "So then, even the Gentiles, God has granted repentance that leads to life."
Even the Gentiles.
Even the Gentiles.
Now, if Peter had not been compelled by the love of God, if Peter had not known the truth about God, that God is love, this story would have never happened. He would have given in to the Jewish laws. Those Jewish laws would have restricted him from this type of behavior, and he would have missed out on opening the door for the gospel to go into the Gentile world. But Peter knew that Jesus had set him free to walk in freedom.
Yeah.
And so in this story, Peter walked in freedom. And I think it's just the most amazing thing that was recorded in the Word of God after the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ.
It is. But look how God did this in Peter's life. He didn't take Peter from day one to Cornelius. He took him first to the Samaritans. Now, the Samaritans were family. They were the black sheep of the family, but they were still family. And as hard as that was, it would have been easier to go to Samaria than to the Gentiles. And so the grace of God took Peter on a journey, just like he takes us on a journey, and breaks down those walls, all that hatred that we have in us for people who aren't us, and eventually he takes us to where he wants us to be. And for Peter, that was to meet Cornelius. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing.
Yes, it is. And it's different.
Yes.
So the Jewish people, you know, his Jewish brothers, those who had come to know Christ, they had never seen anything like that before in their lives. They had never witnessed that. Gentiles, they had never witnessed anything like that in their experience either.
Yes.
And so here is a story that stands out as different in every single way. A story that could only be authored, sourced, empowered by the love of God itself. And that's what happened. So are you ready to take hold of this life eternal? Are you ready to grow in grace? Are you ready to be, to experience this ultimate freedom of serving others humbly in love? Because this is where the gospel leads.
Yes.
This is where the gospel is going to take you. And this is where you're going to experience your richest rewards and your fullest sense of contentment and joy is in expressing your faith in Jesus Christ in love for one another. Paul put it this way in Philippians 2, 15 and 16, "So that you may become blameless and pure children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation." That's different, isn't it?
Yes, it
is. That looks different. And then it says, "Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life," or hold out the word of life for others. So what is that going to make you? It's going to make you shine like stars in the sky.
Yeah.
Stars in the sky are different than the blackness around it.
Yes.
So when you start walking by faith in Jesus and expressing this in love, boy, you're going to look like a star on this canvas of the blackness in this world.
Yes.
So take hold of this life. To know God is to know that He is love. As you walk in this love, you're going to experience ultimate freedom in Christ Jesus. Well, thanks for being with us today on this edition of Basic Gospel. We'll be back on Monday for another live edition. We hope you will join us then. Have a great weekend in the Lord Jesus. We'll see you again on Monday. Bye-bye.